section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A diva retires, Hulk Hogan news, and Cena gets hurt. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have a special guest, Roger Cave. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So, Aaron, who retired?
So your girlfriend, Layla, retired, Andy. And kind of fun fact, I don't know if you knew this or not, but she is 38 years old. And so I guess she decided it was time to hang up the straps.
Wow, that's I didn't realize she was that old. I thought she was like maybe 35-ish. But yeah,
she looks really good for her age, I think.
She does. She's very pretty. So it's sad to see that she's done, but they haven't been really using her. So, oh, well.
Yeah, and they're going a different route. So, you know, she doesn't have as much star power as some of the other divas do. So, you know, it's probably a smart move on her part.
Yeah. So anyway, so let's talk some WWE program for this week. We got Taker versus Lesnar. You know, Roger, I got to ask, what do you think about this?
This was an awesome matchup 10 years ago. 2015, I'm not so sure Undertaker can really move well enough for this to be good. Brock's at his best when he's against guys he can throw around the ring, Reigns, Rollins. Even Cena took a pretty good beating in SummerSlam. There's no way Taker can take 10 suplexes. Probably can't even take 5 safely. And considering he already beat the streak, a year and a half ago, we're going to have Undertaker dominate Lesnar. Like, something about this matchup just doesn't seem logical anymore. He already beat the streak. He has nothing to gain from fighting Undertaker.
You know, I think they're going with the storyline of, I'm sick and tired of you saying that you broke my record. I want to get revenge. But
you do that a year and a half later, though?
I think they did make a mistake on the buildup, unfortunately.
And the other problem is, he did break the streak. And there's no revenge here. Like, even if he beats him, the streak still stays ended. It's not like he gained something from beating Lesnar. He just beat the guy who beat his streak. Nothing of value is gained by Undertaker winning.
And this is going to main event SummerSlam. And I don't think that this is a main event. I really don't. Brock Lesnar is a main event attraction, sure. But you have so many other guys that you could have him face other than The Undertaker. You know, I don't know if we've ever really seen a Randy Orton-Brock Lesnar feud. You know, and if we have, we haven't seen it on this type of magnitude. Those two could put on a really good match. Doesn't even have to be for the title. It could be a number one contenders match that really could be the main event. You know, I mean, those two. Why not do that?
Yeah, you could do a suplex and then RKO out of nowhere. They could probably do something where it would look really good. But yeah, I do agree. I think that Orton should have faced actually Brock Lesnar here, but gosh.
Instead, you have him, you know, in a feud with Sheamus that we've seen time and time again. Granted, this one is maybe probably their most interesting, but that's not saying a whole lot. It really isn't. So, but yeah, Taker Lesnar, you know, and I said it last week, I'll say it again. I'll say it for the next 3 weeks. I don't think that this is going to be as big of a moneymaker as WWE expects it to be.
Do you think that the network is going to be free next month?
Well, it's always free. Every month now is free for new subscribers.
But do you think that they're going to stop it, though, and say you have to pay for August because of SummerSlam and we're going now 4 hours, which I think is a huge deal?
Yeah, and that's actually something we haven't even talked about. Roger, 4 hours for SummerSlam, 4 hours for WrestleMania. I mean, is this the right route to go?
Well, SummerSlam should be treated as the summer's version of WrestleMania. Like, this should be a storyline ender or storyline beginner. It should be the exact same thing as WrestleMania in the summertime. So I'm fine with 4 hours. The problem I have with this is that, unlike WrestleMania, where you have a lot of kind of built-in star power from it just being your signature event, and you have celebrities come, you have old-time superstars come back, you don't really get that at SummerSlam. So what is 4 hours worth of content is going to be at SummerSlam?
Well, you're going to have, you know, 9 or 10 matches. And what I would love to see is to have the NXT title defended. But the problem we run into is that it's going to be defended the night before on another 2 hour pay-per-view. So, that's the one I wish they would push to 3 hours, but it looks like it's only going to be 2. But also, we're going to run into a problem is that we're going to watch, let's say it's 2 hours of wrestling. So we'll say 2.5 hours with the pre-show, and then you're going to have 5 hours on Sunday. That's a lot of wrestling. And like, you know, we talked about with WrestleMania, when Raw or SmackDown hit, the fans took over the show because they're done with wrestling at that point. Cause you know, they've seen, oh gosh, how many hours of wrestling at that point? You're talking 9-10 hours.
Well, and I think that 4 hours is a mistake because Raw is currently 3 hours, which should be 2 hours. And I think they're trying to put an emphasis on the pay-per-view. The problem is if you have 4 hours of pay-per-view, how much time is each match going to get? How many matches are you going to have? WrestleMania had 7 or 8 matches. So they were about 30 minutes long each. And you had the segment with The Rock in there and Ronda Rousey. You can't do that with SummerSlam. So you're going to have probably 10 matches, I would think. You know, you don't even have 10 feuds. So what are you going to do? Like, you're going to just randomly throw these matches in there? I think that would be a big mistake. And I actually think 4 hours is going to be a mistake. Like you said, wrestling fans don't want 4 hours. They don't. They want 3 hours, but they want a good, concise show.
Wrestling fans would accept 4 hours if Raw and SmackDown were separate and 2 hours was devoted to Raw and 2 hours was devoted to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You could totally have 4 hours if this were one of 2 or 3 times a year that they came together, because then you would actually have 2 title matches. You'd have 2 undercard title matches, 1 women's title match, 1 tag team title match, and a couple of other feuds. Now you've got 4 hours worth of content.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you think that they're going to have maybe Orton and Owens actually wrestle at SummerSlam as one of the upper mid-card matches? Do you think that this is going to happen, or do you think they're going to throw Sheamus in the mix so it's going to be a three-way? What do you think?
Well, it sounds like they're going to continue with Orton and Sheamus, and then it'll be Owens and Cesaro. And, you know, on free TV this past Monday, they gave away Owens and Orton. And this was something that we talked about last week. We talked about how Owens should move from his feud to Cena to his feud with Orton, to a feud with Orton, because that would be really cool. You know, Orton, there are so many people Orton has not faced, but they're still putting them with the same people over and over again. You know, wrestling Cena, wrestling with Sheamus. You know, who's he going to wrestle next? Triple H? I mean, is that what they're going to do?
Batista.
You know, Batista. Yeah. You know? They had a really good opportunity here, but instead they gave it away on free TV, you know? So I don't think that they're going to do that at SummerSlam. I mean, I would be happy, don't get me wrong, and I will say that's a good move, but I don't think they're going to.
I don't think Kevin Owens will be wrestling at SummerSlam.
Really?
With 4 hours.
With 4 hours.
Wow.
So here's the problem. He's challenging for the NXT title, correct me if I'm wrong, the previous night in Brooklyn.
Mm.
So you're going to have him wrestle what is most likely to be a 30 to 35 minute war against Finn Balor. And then you're going to have him believably come out the next night and put on another match on a big pay-per-view. Considering the type of match that Balor Owens needs to be at this point, no disqualification, some sort of fight, he should not be wrestling at SummerSlam. He shouldn't have been wrestling Cena, and that's a whole different discussion, at whatever the last pay-per-view was, Battleground or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if Owens left off this card. Completely.
Wow.
And for good reason. I actually think the NXT show is going to surpass SummerSlam. And I don't think it'll be particularly close.
No, and I agree. And also, the thing is, they've almost sold out the Barclays Center or arena. They're that close. So that says something about the NXT brand, that people want to see that brand. And it is popular. So, and I've watched NXT for a long time, and like, it's keeps getting better. I mean, I was just watching it earlier tonight, and I was impressed with the show. It was really good. But I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. Because Owens, I don't know if he can put on a great match 2 nights in a row. I mean, he's done it on the indies, but can he do it WWE style? That's the other thing.
Well, the thing is, it's not just wrestling a Raw then a SmackDown, because those are very formulaic. This is, I'm putting on a pay-per-view, the main event of a pay-per-view, and then the next night I have to put on another pay-per-view match. And you know, it is rumored he would wrestle Cesaro. That would have to be the curtain jerker. You know, I mean, that's what it would have to be at this point in time.
So. Well, the thing is, they're going to have to wrestle early in the night, because they're going to steal the show. Cesaro and Owens will steal the show. When it was Claudio and Steen, they put on some great matches. This is going to be even better. So
they won't give him the time to steal the show.
No.
It's not like they're going to have the kind of Steamboat Savage time. They'll give him 7-8 minutes to avoid them stealing the show. They know.
I hope they don't do that.
Can go. I mean, they were fine with Owen stealing the show with Cena. mm-hmm. he's not going to steal the show with Cesaro, because then they actually have to push Cesaro and he doesn't connect with the fans, even though when he's doing the swing, it's one of the biggest pops we see, but he's not connecting with the fans.
Oh man, I could, I don't want to talk about this right now because the show will go for an hour, because it makes me, I'm so frustrated with that, because Cesaro is connecting with the fans and it's just Vince doesn't like him for some reason.
He's an indie guy, that's why.
Well, actually, it's because he doesn't talk. Truthfully, you can always tell the guys that will get over. Owens can talk. Cesaro really is not a good talker. Those are the guys who, for some reason, always get held down. Punk got over not because of his wrestling, but because he can talk. Mm-hmm. Bryan had to fight his way to the top by being arguably the best wrestler for a year because he's an okay talker. Vince values mic skills way more than he ever valued in-ring. That's why Hogan got way more over, quote-quote, than Savage did. It's always been about talking. Piper wasn't really a great wrestler, but man, he can make you want to kill him just by talking on the microphone.
Speaking of feet, Roger's a jerk. That was one of his famous phrases. He said, oh, really? I think it was speaking of Tony Atlas, or speaking of feet, Tony Atlas is a jerk.
You know, one thing that I was really, really surprised this week is that we had Cena versus Rollins. It was for the U.S. title. Cena and Rollins stole the show. Hands down, one of the best matches this month. What are your thoughts on that, Roger?
It doesn't surprise me. I think that they went at it in the Rumble in that triple threat match with Brock. I mean, I'm not a huge Cena fan when it comes to his style. I don't like the formulaic Hogan style of Five Moves of Doom and, you know, very predictable, get beat up the entire match and then come back and win it miraculously. But when given the opportunity with the right opponent, he can put on some fantastic matches, whether it's with Punk or Edge. Even his match with Van Damme back at One Night Stand 06 was a good match. Atmosphere helped, don't get me wrong, but he can go. If you give him a guy like Rollins, who's probably top three in-ring guys right now, the match is going to be good if you give them any significant amount of time. 15 minutes, you're going to get probably one of the top 10 matches of the year. You give them 30 minutes, you might have the match of the year. So I'm not surprised it was very good. I'm surprised that they gave this match away on free TV.
Yeah, I agree. Like, unless they do some type of gimmick match where they wrestle for the world title, that's the only thing I think they can do with this. I almost want Cena to lose the title, well, next week. The U.S. titles to someone, doesn't matter who it is.
So it sounds like they will be doing at SummerSlam Cena Rollins for the world title. And I still like free TV. That gets me. It really does, because the whole point is you want to build up to the match. I need to pay my hard earned money so I can see this, because I have not seen this yet. And that's why I rag on Orton and Sheamus so much, because we've seen that time and time again. So if I say, oh, you got to see that Orton-Sheamus match, you're going to be like, which one? You know, if I say you got to see the Cena-Punk match, people will say the Money in the Bank or the one on Raw. That's probably what people will ask, because those are the two biggest matches that they've had. You know, that's the whole point of it, is that seeing this on free TV is just stupid. Now, like you said, if they have a gimmick, if it's a ladder match, if it's a, you know, even a cage or match. Yeah, I know, right? But like, you know, just something that at least spices it up a little bit, I'll say, okay, then I might forgive it a little. I don't think they're going to go that route there. I think that it's going to be a strict one-on-one match, because this is going to go on probably second to last, and they don't want to outshine Lesnar Taker.
Yeah, because they'll probably do this match, and then they'll do like a Divas match, and then they'll go to the main event, which is sad. But one thing I want to talk about, though, in this match is that Rollins legitimately broke Cena's nose. And when it happened, I'll just be 100% honest, I was fast forwarding a little bit. And then I was like, is that blood? So I had to rewind. I was like, oh my gosh, and then when they showed a picture of his face, I was like, he broke his nose. And it was interesting, because they had the trainer come in and they still were able to work the match, and they finished it, which I was shocked about. But, you know, kudos to Cena for staying in there after a broken nose. I mean, it looked disgusting. I mean, Roger, did you see the nose?
I saw a picture of kind of the aftermath. I didn't see the full thing. Let me preface this by saying I am not a fan of wrestlers getting hurt. Like, it's not like I wish ill on them. Even somebody like Cena, who I'm not the biggest fan of, I don't want them to get hurt. However, this does, and a couple of other incidents too, bring a bit of legitimacy to wrestling in the sense of when you watch a guy get kicked in the face like that, like if somebody who didn't watch wrestling saw that, they go, wow, that's not faked. That really happened. Like his nose is jacked up. So I don't think it's the – I mean, Cena's a tough guy. I mean, it's not like a broken nose is the end of the world. It's not going to lose them any money. It's not crippling. It's a good storyline if they're smart with it. Like Rollins can now walk around going, I broke your nose. He can taunt him with that until the SummerSlam match. I busted your nose open. I permanently maimed you. Say whatever you want to, you know. You could have him do a storyline. Now, assuming he could still do the curb stomp, you could have him do a storyline where he's going to stomp Cena's nose in and break it wide open. Would be a great, you know, pull it out of nowhere for SummerSlam to win the match because Cena's just down because his nose explodes. Or have the ref stop the match. Even better.
Like, well, you do that so you continue the pay-per-view for next or the match for next month with their which is what they're probably going to do.
I mean, we know this isn't going to just be a one. You know this is going to happen four times, right? I hope we're not under the delusion that Cena's going to leave the main event after one match.
That's true.
Yeah, well, this will be going on till the Rumble, potentially.
Oh, my gosh. I hope not.
He'll have three opponents for all of 2015.
I mean, Cena was in the title picture last year from Money in the Bank to the Rumble.
That's true.
I mean, other than the 4 months that Lesnar took off, yeah.
Yeah, but title picture. Yeah. He was wrestling for the number one contendership.
Mm-hmm.
They were wrestling for their jobs at Survivor Series. That was the only time he was in a non-title related match. Number one contendership at TLC. I mean, everything was Cena versus the Authority for the title contendership, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm actually looking forward to the pay-per-view, which... But I just don't know if I can handle 4 hours, and I think my wife would be a little upset if she's forced to watch this.
You might want to watch it in sec. Like, what does TNA do? Part one and part two? Mm-hmm. Might be a good idea for SummerSlam.
We could do that. Well, hey, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free set builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on ironsfromwshop.com. Aaron, are you ever going to use that code so you can get some Kevin Owens merchandise?
Yeah, no, I'm going to use it tomorrow.
Right. For our weekly topic, we're going to talk about the Hulk Hogan situation. Disclaimer, we are not going to talk about the societal issues regarding the words that Hogan said. Instead, we're going to focus on whether or not the punishment fits the crime and what should happen in these instances.
So with that out of the way, so we have Roger on. Roger happens to be black. I thought that this might be a kind of fun because you and I, Andy, we might agree. I think Roger might disagree. And so, you know, I thought that it might be a good idea to kind of talk about it. So, Roger, you know, I messaged you last week, said, hey, Hogan's been fired. You're like, oh, what'd he do this time? And I was like, well, what were your initial thoughts on that? And actually, I shouldn't, because we want to kind of focus on the punishment to the crime. So, the crime itself. So he got fired and pretty much scrubbed from WWE. Do you think the punishment fits the crime?
Yes. It fits the crime, not because I think, and this is going to probably sound weird, not because I think Hulk Hogan hates black people. I actually don't think the guy is walking around with a Confederate flag on his truck and a skinned head. And, you know, I guarantee the guy's not at Klan rallies. The problem with what he said is a little bit more that he didn't have a problem with what he said. Very much like Paula Deen's like, I don't understand what I said. We're all just a little bit racist. You know, these guys. And so you kind of have to go from the WWE's perspective. If you don't scrub him and say, let's just remove ourselves from being associated with this guy, it's a tacit endorsement that we're okay with this. Terrible, terrible idea. If Warrior's old speech had come out and he was associated with them, they would have had to do the same thing. You know, it's a shame that this happened to come out 3 years after he said it, because obviously this is not like something he said last week and we're just finding out about it. It was said in 2012. At the same time, you're just a little like, wow, Hogan. Like, I didn't peg him as a guy who was just so, and I said this before, I think we were talking about this, blatantly racist. Like, this wasn't something that was said in error. This wasn't something that was like, it was a slip of the tongue. I apologize. This is like, dude, you have some views that belong in the 1960s. I can't imagine any scenario in which we see him on programming, probably mentioned outside of in passing, maybe until he dies. To be quiet. Here's the problem.
Well, do you think that that's the way it should be, though? But you're like, you're running WWE, you know, you have a say in, you know, would you say to Vince, I don't think that until Hogan dies, we should mention him ever.
I mean, in fairness, as you said, I'm black, so I'm a little biased in this scenario, is that that word's a little bit more sensitive, having heard that thrown my way and not the most positive context. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, joking all aside, you know, if that was something where he was telling a joke and it happened to be the slur, like, whatever. Like, that doesn't bother me. It wasn't even the N-word that he says isn't really the most bothering part of his statement. It's the ridiculous stereotyping and the horrible context in which he just assumed that black people are basically worthless unless you're 8 feet tall and married to the – or, you know, in the NBA. And it's like, dude, what is – like, you just go, what is wrong with you? How do you think like this? You've spent time around black people. I bet you have black friends. You know, you're in athletics. You say brother all the time. Yes, I understand that brother has a context, a family, but let's be real. We also know that brother is a very black term that people say when referring to one another. So it's like you just can't believe that he didn't know what he meant when he was saying it. Like,
sure.
He clearly – like you said, everybody's a little racist. He thought it was okay. Like, this wasn't an accident. And if I'm talking to Vince, it's like, do I think he hates black people? No. Can I honestly look Booker T, Mark Henry, or any of my other black employees in the face and say, we're not a racist company, but we're going to have Hulk Hogan be the spokesman for this company without sounding like a ridiculous hypocrite? No. Like, I'm sorry. It sucks that we are in a world that's a little bit more sensitive. At the same time, the reason we got there is because people thought this was okay. Like, unfortunately, this is a message that kind of has to be sent. That's not tolerated.
Do you think that if this happened 10 years ago, that they would do the same thing?
God, 10 years ago, I think so here's the other problem. 10 years ago, social media wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, we hear about this and it's a slower build. So eventually we would have gotten to the point where they probably just said quietly, you know, we're going to stop talking about him. But now in a world where you're judged within 24 hours, like if this breaks on Monday and on Thursday they're still associated with him, we're running nothing but news stories about, does WWE okay with this? Is this the way Vince McMahon thinks? Is this the type of image that this company – so you have to be so quick with everything you do. You don't even really get the time to debate on what was said. It was a matter of what does the public think was said and how do we react in a way that people don't think that we endorse this? They had to.
So you would then you agree that what the actions WWE did, that you think that the punishment does fit the crime?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, I don't think Hulk Hogan will be associated with any major wrestling promotion probably until he dies.
Wow.
Until the point where people are – because we overlooked Warrior's homophobic statements when he died because it was a sad moment and he was back. We were happy to see him and he died. This is one of those things, like very much had he said the same. I mean, let's say, and I don't want to get too much into the topic issues, but the last month has been real rough to be a bigot, right? There's been a couple mm-hmm. big decisions that have really made it tough for you to have closed-minded views in society. His views are pretty much like everything that everyone has been trying to get away from, whether you're white and you're like, look, we don't think like that anymore, or you're black and you're saying, I'm glad that society doesn't think like that anymore. He's going to be tarnished for – I don't think you're going to see him on sports things. I mean, his name right now is associated with racism.
It
and
is,
if you look at other people who had similar incidents, you usually don't recover from this. And this is the unfair part if you're white. If he were a black guy who had said this about an Asian guy, he would still be removed. He wouldn't be scrubbed. They'd give it some time and they would remove it. It was the fact that he said that word, which is massively incendiary – and the way that he phrased his statements were just so yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had to just say, you know, you're Chris Benoit, dude. You're persona non grata, and you don't exist as far as we're concerned.
Pretty much, yeah. So, and Andy, it sounds like you and I probably have similar views on this, is that we don't necessarily feel the punishment fits the crime. We do feel he should have been fired, you know. If I owned the company, the first thing I do, I say, okay, that's great. You're out. You know, you're done. We're not even going to mention you. This is not going to be something that we even bring up. It's just you're gone. You know, plain and simple, you're off our signature. You're off anything, any of our merchandise. You know, we remove you from 2K15, 2K16. You know, you're not on any of the games anymore. Sorry. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. Removal of the merchandise, that sort of thing. The biggest issue I have with it is more they haven't come out and said it yet, but he's no longer shown up in the Hall of Fame. So they're saying that they stripped him of his Hall of Fame. They might have stripped him of his being in the Hall of Fame, which really surprises me because you have Mike Tyson in there and you have LT, who after he was in the Hall of Fame, he raped a girl who was underage. That's my biggest issue with it.
And also Donald Trump with the things that he's been saying lately.
Yeah, he's been saying stuff, very bad things about Mexican Americans. You know, granted, he hasn't, you know, called them any racist terms, but he's done everything but.
But see, that's the key, right? Is that what Donald Trump said was stupid. It's not like they're going to be associated with him anytime soon. But he didn't drop arguably the most incendiary word in American history. Like, the problem with what Hogan said and how he said it, and more importantly, why he said it, is that it was just so blatantly bigoted. Like, what Tyson and LT did is unforgivable. You know, they were both convicted of rape. Horrible, horrible crimes. They served their punishment in terrible. But on a larger scale, what they did violated one person. What Hogan did was demean an entire race of people throughout generations and bring up something that a lot of people are just not comfortable talking with, dealing with, thinking about. Like, that's kind of why this punishment had to be a wider scope, because we know, like, Tyson knows rape is wrong. LT knows rape is wrong. I hope.
To a 15-year-old girl, hopefully.
Hopefully. If you ask Hulk Hogan before anything came out, if what he said was wrong, his answer would have been no. He didn't think that he was saying anything that was incorrect. We're all a little bit racist. I just hate those black guys. Like, and that was, it was so casually said, like, you're worthless unless you're an NBA player. I mean, it's basically what he said. Like, if my daughter's going to be screwing one, he better be 8 feet tall, which I want to meet an 8 feet tall black guy, and better be in the NBA. It was like, is that it? Are we only valuable if we're rappers or basketball players and shucking and jiving and spitting some watermelon seeds? I mean, like, you know, it was every backwoods racist stereotype that you ever heard. And was like, wow, Hulk.
So do you think he should be removed from the Hall of Fame?
Retroactive removal is stupid, right? Like, I don't care what you tell me. I know who won the 2005 NCAA championship. It was the USC Trojans and Reggie Bush, the Heisman. You know, you can say whatever you want to about, we officially took that away. BS. Like, I watched the game. I watched them roll Oklahoma. So you can say Hogan's removed from the Hall of Fame. Are you going to go confiscate the ring? Are you going to go through all of the video archive footage and remove him? Are you going to try to go in and eternal spotless my mind and take away the fact that I saw a president? I mean, just admit the fact that he was in the Hall of Fame. We hadn't heard anything racist. And as of this moment going forward, we will not associate with him. What he's done in the past is not necessarily relevant. We're not going to punish WWE like, oh my God, you let this guy in the Hall of Fame? Like, yeah, at the time, we didn't know he was a raging racist.
Are you in favor of them removing the ability to search for any of his matches? Not that anyone really would want to, but...
I am in favor of no one having to see Hulk Hogan matches because they're terrible. So, this is a bit of a loaded question because the only other person you've ever done this to is Chris Benoit. Mm-hmm. And we know that Chris Benoit's crimes are obviously of a far more sinister nature. So it is rough when you look at it in the direct comparison to say, are you Chris Benoit? No, you did not murder your wife and child. However, if you removed Chris Benoit from this statement, so let's say that he just didn't happen, and you were saying, is this racist enough for me to say I don't want you associated with my company and I don't want people to be able to search Hulk Hogan and then find WWE? I have no problem with them saying, I don't want you associated with us. I don't want people to think about you. I don't want people to think about us. I don't want people to think there's any sort of current connection with your racism and my brand. Yes, you are a former employee. And the key part of that is former. Scrub him, remove him, acknowledge his past, and leave it alone.
If WWE 5 years from now, like, let's just say this happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
If WWE brought him back after 5 years, let's just say, you know, he kind of did his time by, you know, not being able to be anywhere, you know, not being able to get any money from WWE, that sort of thing. would you be okay with him being on TV or him, you know, not having a big role, but having a very minor role in the world of wrestling? Would that be something that you would say no to WWE, no to that wrestling organization? Like, what would your thoughts be, do you think?
So wrestling does require a suspension of disbelief, right? Like, I understand that Daniel Bryan probably does not walk around the majority of his life pointing his fingers in the air screaming yes every time he succeeds at something. I don't believe Mark Calloway thinks he's a mortician, and I definitely don't think Shawn Michaels runs around like a stripper anymore.
Anymore.
He probably did when he was younger, because that dude was... The problem with Hogan is that when you are in that legend status, right, you are brought back as a goodwill gesture. It's supposed to be a positive experience. It's supposed to be, oh, look, we remember Hulk from our childhood. Every time I see Hogan, I'm not going to think about Hulkamania. I'm going to be thinking about, you're a racist. Like, it's not something that you can kind of easily forgive because it wasn't a slip of the tongue. This wasn't a new belief. Like, it's probably likely that he has felt this way his entire life. So to think now that while you were, you know, say your prayers and eat your vitamins, except for you, little darky boy, like, it, you know.
And take your steroids.
And take your steroids. You know, that was the vitamins. There's something. And then, you know, you start to go in the, like, if you look at Hogan for the most part, he didn't really work with a lot of black wrestlers. Like, you know, all of the things, like, I think Hogan put a lot of people down just because of his own ego. But now I start to question things about, like, how many things you did that were racially motivated? Like, what part of you is just a because you're Hulk Hogan? And what part of you is a racist? Like, where do I separate the line? And if I see Hulk Hogan, I still see the racist. Like, even with Warrior, right? I saw him and I was happy to see him in the Hall of Fame. But if I were gay, I would be like, that dude's a bigot. Like, I still think he's a bigot, and I'm not gay, but I'm like, that dude's pretty bigoted. I think Hogan's a racist. Like, I don't necessarily know that it's smart to associate yourself with him. I mean, I think he's apologized since then. And
oh, of course. I mean, he apologized right away.
The thing with his apology isn't, if he had apologized and said, look, 3 years ago I said this thing, and I've come to the conclusion, and I understand that what I said was not only wrong, but the views that I held were wrong, and I'm going to either make steps to improve myself and understand why what I said was blatantly ignorant, or I now have already done so, I would have been accepted. He basically just apologized for getting caught.
Well, there are some reports that I've been seeing that have said that it's up to 5 or even 10 years ago that some of the statements were coming out. You know, we don't know the exact timeline, at least at this point in time. Not that that changes anything, you know, I mean, if it was said,
well, it kind of does.
You think, like, this was said, let's say Hogan said this in 05.
Yeah.
For you, I mean, I don't know what he was doing in 05.
He was fighting Shawn Michaels.
Okay. So he apparently didn't like Shawn Michaels. And so he was going on a racist tirade. So, I mean, let's say it came out, this was 10 years ago. Because, I mean, even like Paula Deen's thing, not that I want to get into that, that was like in the 80s or something, you know, like when she said, granted, her response to it was, well, we're all a little racist. Not the best one, you know, not very smart. So Hogan, you know, came out 2005. I mean, how much does that change it?
So here's the problem with that. The further back it goes, you reset the timeline and say, well, if you said it in 05, how long has this been going on for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't just a racist old man talking. This is someone who said we're all a little racist. So if you were saying this in 05 when you were an active wrestler, what were you saying in 95? What were you saying in 2000? What were you saying in 85? Like, the it starts to open up Pandora's box, because I wonder, what else have you said? What else have you done? You know, are you just speaking, you know – your actions usually are a reflection of your views. Most people typically kind of follow that way. Like, if you're a blatant racist, usually you're not going to be the most friendly person to people of color. If you're a blatant sexist, usually you're going to treat women as less than equal. So it's hard for me to separate that the person wasn't doing, at the very least, whatever he could. And maybe it was subconscious. Maybe he legitimately just believed black people shouldn't be in the main event. Maybe he just thinks that the money is and a white guy like himself. Or maybe he's just a bad person. Maybe he just really has a problem with the idea of a black man being the face of the company or a black guy being a champion. It's like, I don't know where you can draw the line with Hulk, because what he said wasn't it wasn't very well defined. It was very broad. I mean, it was basically all of you black people are worthless unless you meet the following criteria. Not like, if he had called one guy the word, I wouldn't actually be as offended. I would be offended that he used the word. And I'm like, dude, that's racist. Like what Riley Cooper said. It was like, you basically said all of you are worthless. Like it I can't imagine that this is an isolated incident. I don't think this is the first time he said something like this. I don't think this is the first time he's expressed this view to someone. And I would bet so much money that in the coming amounts of time, we'll hear stories of other people saying, actually, yeah, he said this before. He's done this before. You know, you're telling me that the people he traveled on the road with, and I don't know if he had his own personal Hulkamania bus and maybe he was by himself, but I believe that Jimmy Hart and Bischoff and Brutus Beefcake, I bet you they could all now maybe they won't because they're very good friends with him and they don't want to sell him out to dry, and good for them. But this isn't an isolated incident. Like,
Just, I guess, as a recap, so you are pretty much 100% in favor of what everything WWE has done thus far. My only issue really is I feel that scrubbing him Chris Benoit style, I think, is a little over the top. Stop selling his merchandise, you know, take the normal stuff off the website. Don't say, yeah, there was some guy that won the title back in the 80s. We don't know who.
So does it say in the title picture Hulk Hogan is not there anymore?
Well, so and I haven't checked recently. What
even Benoit is there?
Because originally for Chris Benoit, you couldn't click on it. Yeah. And then you could click on it and then it would say file not found.
Yep.
We haven't checked Hogan recently, but typically, I mean, last time I checked, it wouldn't let me click on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a little over the top. I think WWE actually did a pretty good job of their response time to this.
I just checked. Hulk Hogan is still there. If you go and click on the championships, if you go down, you click on Hulk Hogan's name. It does go to there. It says it's basically a news story, but that's about it.
Okay, so
Benoit still listed as a former champion? Like, does it show him beating Triple H at 20?
Well, you have to go to the world title history instead of the WWE title.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, they took the cartoon off the network, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. I mean, they've really scrubbed him, which I think might be a little too far. But then again, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt. From my opinion, I think, Andy, you're probably very similar to me in that regard.
Yeah, Chris Benoit is actually still in there.
Okay.
Oh, no, when you click on his name, it says World Heavyweight Championship Chris Benoit, and then it goes to Power Rankings. So,
yeah. That makes sense.
Exists, you know, in the database, which is,
that's good. I mean, at least they at least have that in there. But yeah, I mean, it obviously it's a very touchy subject. You know, realistically, I mean, with what has been done, WWE took the right steps. It's time is going to tell on this. I don't know if we ever will see Hogan back in a WWE ring. I think that, you know, it could be 5 or 10 years before they even mention him again, before they even bring him back, even if it is only for a very minor, minor appearance. But like Roger said, I mean, it could be when he's dead, you know, and I mean, that could be 20 years from now before we see Hogan again.
And here's the other thing. If he comes out, what do you do if he's portrayed as a good guy and a significant part of your crowd starts booing? Because it's not unreasonable to think that people would see him and go, oh, that's the guy who called us all. You know what? We're going to flip on him. You know, you go to one of those rowdy places like New York and they erupt in boos on him. The announcers can't even say why they're booing him.
They'll go to Wyoming. That's where Hogan will come out. It'll be like Wyoming.
You're going to bring him back for the arena with 2,000 people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're risking a lot when you come back and associate with him. You could alienate a significant party. I mean, unless you have him come back as a racist heel, you have him play into the character, I just don't think he has any value anymore, to be quite honest. I don't think the name Hulk Hogan is anything that you want to be associated with anymore. His brand is tarnished. I don't think he'll be endorsing anything. I don't think he'll be somebody that you say, I want to be associated with him anymore. Ironically, unless you want to sell the Confederate flag. Truthfully, there's probably a racist market out there that's probably I bet you Hulk Hogan's selling a lot of grills down south.
Oh.
Not stereotype everybody in the south, but we obviously know that there's a less tolerant region in America and it's not north.
Yeah, so this is just a weird subject, and I'm still weird about this whole thing. I don't know if you compare – I can't compare him to Chris Benoit because he didn't kill his family then hang himself. But at least – see, I don't know. I guess my thing is, and I think Roger said it before, if it was in a joke, I would give it 6 months and then you'll see his stuff slowly come back. But him saying it the way he did, that did bother me, because especially now, I mean, because like we're letting a lot of things, like even like transgenders and stuff like that. And we're, I just think that we need to simmer down now, you know, like just do that. But this is just a weird, very weird subject for all of us, especially being, you know, good wrestling fans. So any last words, Aaron?
Nope.
Roger?
Every time you hear Hogan say brother when you watch in the back, what are you going to be thinking about?
We'll leave you on that thought. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes and Roger Cave, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.